T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
At the end of the day, you know, emotion is going to fly. Obviously, we wanted to win this game, and we did. But the series is far from over. And then we got to get ready for game 3. You know, it's how it goes. You know, in families, there's ups and downs, there's fights, there's emotions. But that's exactly what we are, a family. We're going to hold each other accountable. And we got to do what it takes to come out and execute next game.
Would you say that what happened there was needed?
I think so. I think it's a beauty to it. A lot of people are passionate and emotional, and I'm one of those people, so I recognize it as emotion, as passion. I don't recognize it as nothing else. The media might see it or whatever. That's all it is passion.
That is the one guy who admitted that the team had an altercation after the game in the locker room. That's Jaylen Brown. Everybody else dismissed it. Kemba Walker said, ain't nothing happened in the locker room. Enes Kanter said, too many bull bleep rumors out there, denied it. And Tatum said, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. So none of them really admitted it.
I tell you, instead of tweeting, maybe Kanter should get, on a treadmill.
I know.
Maybe you should sprint. What has he been doing other than sitting around the pool? He gave you 5 great minutes and it looked like he died.
It's amazing.
Like he was dead.
I said this a couple days ago, at the beginning before the series started. I said, don't expect an awful lot of Robert Williams. He just doesn't match up well. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Enes Kanter at the Celtics offensive end, because you want him to work Bam and force him to play some defense. And he came in and he did exactly that, and you're sitting in court. He can't even get up and down the court. That was embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why he's not playing. And after Bam started dunking like crazy in the third quarter, I don't think you'll see him again.
As Boston goes up by 7, and Kanter looks tired.
I tell you what, what Bam was doing in the third quarter with all those dunks felt
just a
like
pick and roll. Simple
well,
pick and roll.
No, I know, but it was the effect it was having reminds me of, like, you know, a really good, like, run, like a Derrick Henry. I'm going to keep running it down your throat until you stop it. And I know you know it's coming. I know you know it's coming, but I'm going to do it anyways. Yep. And you still can't stop it.
I want to see more of Kanter. You know, I want to see more. And you could say, well, he doesn't defend the pick and roll. Whether he was, he wasn't like he was in there in every single one of them. You know, so they were doing that no matter what. But, you know, you talk about Bam underneath. It's not like, you know, he's got, like, Serge is taking him out to the 3-point line. He's just going to abuse him. But Kanter, the one thing he can do is rebound. And he gets, talk about effort.
Right.
You know, he gets after it. He keeps balls alive. He gets the ball under the hoop. It's going in.
I agree. He can rebound at one end, and he can score at the other end, and it forces Bam maybe to commit a foul or two that he doesn't want to commit. He certainly has got to go out there and play defense against Kanter, because Kanter's strong and he can get him down that low block. I agree. But if you can only play him 5 minutes low, what good is it? And Tice is going to get into foul trouble against Bam.
Yeah.
He has to. It's a mismatch for him. I love the way he's playing. He plays his ass off. I don't see how anybody can have any complaints with Daniel Tice. But he's going to get into foul trouble because it's a total mismatch. Here's Jay in a car. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Jay?
I got one question for each of you. Oh. And they're in defense of Coach Stevens. The first is, we talked about how Butler and Adebayo both can blow another team away, and that hasn't happened yet. Don't you think that has something to do with coaching, Glenn? Like, don't you think?
No, I think Butler is missing little layups, and Bam is having the same problem inside. He's missing easy shots that he can't. He's going to eventually hit those in one of these games. Both of these guys are.
So you think they've just taken Jimmy Butler out
No.
of the equation, or do you think Jimmy Butler's Listen, I'm surprised he's not as more aggressive than he is. You think they've just kept the ball out of his hands and done an amazing job?
I'm just saying, when you're trying to beat another team, the way to do it is to keep their star players from scoring and doing what they do. And that's what they've done until crunch time. And crunch time, this is my question for you, Lou. When Tatum gets downhill in that first game and it's time for him to finish the game and win the game for him and he gets blocked, is that the coach's fault? Like, is that the coach's role to figure out a way to score when the ball's in your hand at crunch time? Does Jimmy Butler find a way to score? Does LeBron James find a way to score? Would Michael Jordan find a way to score? If Tatum,
Jay, we're talking about game one.
Should finish that.
We're talking about game one, right?
Game one.
Okay,
that's
so
game one. Yeah.
Let me ask you. So, do you think that Tatum taking the ball all by himself in isolation, or Kemba all by himself in isolation, and do you think that Jaylen Brown just decided to stay in the corner and watch it? Do you think Marcus Smart decided to stay in the corner and watched isolation ball? Like, do you think this offense was moving the ball and they were beating Miami in game one, and then with 3.5 minutes to go, do you think Jason Tatum just decided to play isolation ball and go one-on-one for the next 3 minutes with Kemba?
I think they've decided that he's their finisher.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about finisher. I'm not talking about finisher. I'm talking about 3.5, 4 minutes to go in the game. I'm not talking about minute. I'm not talking about Jason Tatum getting dunked at the rim at the buzzer. Or even that final shot, which I didn't mind. You put the ball in his hands. I'm talking about the 4 minutes with a lead changing your entire offense. You think they did that in their own?
Well, I mean, this goes to my last question. Is basically, who's playing better? The players with egos or the players without egos? The players without egos are Kemba, Smart, and Tice. The players with egos are the two young guys, Brown and Tatum. Which group's playing better? I mean, because the guys that are willing to take the coaching, I think, are performing above their level. Maybe Kemba's playing to the level that we all expected, but Tice and Smart are playing way above the level that we would expect.
Kemba had a good game.
See, I disagree with you. I think Kemba shot well early on in the game, and I thought it was interesting he played fewer minutes in that game than he's played in the other ones. And I think he got taken out of the game mainly because the offense became all about Kemba. And Christian was talking earlier, or maybe you were, Lou, about Jaylen Brown not being involved for a while, almost like he was disinterested. I think some of that was the offense was running through Kemba. The problem with Kemba was he was giving it all up at the other end. Dragic was once again just destroying him. This is a guy, I hate to say it because he's had a good career, but he's a guy that lost his job 2 months ago to a rookie because he couldn't get it done. And suddenly he's been revived here in the playoffs.
Well, they all have.
Yeah,
they all have.
And
yeah,
Kemba's eyes are lighting up here.
But it's not just Kemba he's abusing. I mean, he's abusing everybody.
Yeah, I agree, but Kemba's seeing most of the time on
him. They switch a lot. Yeah. I mean, they switch every time down the court.
They do. Here's Brock in Middleborough. Hi, Brock.
Hey, good afternoon. It's been so frustrating watching the Celtics team lately because a couple of years ago, the reason we fell in love with the young guys on this team is a few years ago, it was kind of just understood that they were going to beat teams that were more talented than them, that were favored because they were going to play 48 minutes of high-effort, hard-fought basketball, and they were going to eke out all kinds of wins that on paper they shouldn't have gotten. And now they're on the other side of the court. They are the more talented team, but they're losing to less talented teams because of lack of effort, which I don't know if it's a situation where they started to believe their own hype and listen to their own music or something, but the mindset of the team has totally shifted in the last couple of years where they went from being the underdogs, the scrappy underdogs that were going to get wins that they shouldn't get, to now they're giving away wins that they should be winning.
I think that's a legitimate point. I think they're doing that because I don't think Miami is as talented, and we've talked numerous times about Butler and Bam not having great games yet, and yet they still bust their ass and they make plays when their shots aren't going.
And I think that's why they ultimately are losing it. That is why, because they know they're better, yet they're losing because somebody else is doing something that the one thing that they can control, they're losing to. They're being out-hustled. They're being outworked. Not the entire time, but when it matters most and when they really need focus and energy, the other team does it better than you. That would drive, if I pride myself on being a team player and showing hustle, like this would be driving me crazy. One, I'm better than you, but I'm losing because you're just working harder than me. You're showing that it means more to you. And then how can you tell? Give me some proof, Foyer. Show me. Tell me. Well, look at the inbounds plays. Look at the steals. Look at the way they just give up blocks. Like, to me, it's so evident and it's so easy for a guy like Brad Stevens to just put it on a tee and say, guys, this is why you shouldn't be frustrated. Because I think right now it's important for Brad to show them the positives. Guys, look at all the stuff you do well. Now, let's look at how you're screwing it up. Let's look at how you're making it harder on yourself. Guys, can't you see it? Forget about the fighting. We're all frustrated.
The most frustrating play for me all game long was early in the fourth quarter. Jay Crowder hit a three. They actually went up eight, I think it was. And Wanamaker inbounded the ball and underhand flipped it to, I think it was Kemba or Smart, who was probably at the top of the key.
Yeah.
Just underhand flipped it, carelessly flipped it, and Jones stole it.
Yep.
And I was just like, man, it is
I hear you.
Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals in the fourth quarter. A guy drained a three, you inbounded the ball, and it was like a no-look, underhand flip, careless turnover. I'm like, what? And you know what the worst part about it was? He actually stayed in the game for three more minutes before they subbed him out, Wanamaker. After that play, aren't you sitting like, okay, you know what? You're out. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think
that's why that's why I think they're snobs. I think I think that move right there, that display, is a snob, is an entitled athlete.
Down five. He hits a three to make it down eight, and you underhand flip it, look away carelessly, for a steal.
What have they done? They haven't accomplished anything. So they're acting, oh, you know what? I feel like the win, Glenn, against Toronto probably is partly to blame. Hell, we beat Toronto. We feel good about ourselves.
You haven't accomplished anything.
But remember, how did you beat Toronto? How did you do it? So go back to that mentality. If they just play their ass off and hustle, they'll win four in a row. They're better. They're more talented. But they're outworking you. And especially when it matters most.
Well, you talk about inexperienced players because I keep on hearing this one, and that's part of it. Tatum is 22 and 3 years, and Brown is 23 and 4 years. But when they're not shooting well, you go out and you do other things. And let me give you an example. Tyler Hero is 21. He's a rookie. He was not shooting the ball well last night. He was 4 of 12, 1 of 8 from three-point territory. But guess what? Spoelstra kept him in the game for 32 minutes. You want to know why? Because he busted his ass. He came up with 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He played great defense. And when they needed shots, when they needed to play, he made them. That's the difference. He's a rookie. He's 21. And you're keeping him in the game because he's doing the little things. I hate to bring up the Al little things. He's doing the little things. I don't think the Celtics are doing any of the little things right now. Here's Eddie in a car. Eddie.
Hey, guys, how are you? You know, I was really excited about this series. You know, I knew Miami was playing good, but I thought the Celtics were gonna win. But I'll tell you, we need to be concerned because if they don't come out and win the next game, I think Brad Stevens needs to go because he's not going anywhere. Well, but here's the problem. He may not be going anywhere, but I'll tell you what, they get swept. Don't be surprised if they fire him because
he's got a new contract.
He may be
hasn't even started yet. It starts next year.
Listen,
well,
Eddie,
he might not be going anywhere.
Eddie, thank you. Thanks for the call. They gave him an extension just recently, and
he's not going
anywhere. I hate what I've seen the last two games, and maybe even the last 2 years with what Brad Stevens is. And I don't think he's going to fire him. No, I don't think you fire him. But I would like to see him figure it out. I would like to see him. He knows this group. He knows these guys. Figure it out because they're starting to make you look bad because they're making the same mistakes over and over and over again, and you haven't fixed it. They haven't fixed it. You obviously, the message isn't getting done. I mean, how many times? Yeah, we know how important closing games are. Well, Jesus. I think they've lost 5 games now, and they've been leading in 4 of them.
And the problem you have, Lou, is that we know that Miami can be better than this. Certainly their two stars can. But does anybody think that Miami is going to give up or quit on any one of these games? Are you kidding me? Look at the way they play, and they've done this now entirely in the bubble. And I think the bubble has changed everything and the way people play, and you're not playing 2 at home and then 2 on the road. But this is a team that's embraced the bubble. They have figured the bubble out. And they're not quitting. They're going to make it very difficult on Saturday night. And the Celtics are going to have to play at a really high level to do that. All right, back to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. And will Gordon Hayward make a difference? He could possibly play on Saturday night, maybe next Wednesday. We'll get into that. More phone calls coming up next right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was watching the game, and I seen bad body language from Jason Tatum.
Yep.
And I seen bad body language from Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
And you guys both know that those two guys, I've been lobbying the Danny Ainge, Wick Grossbeck, and Steve Pagluga to sign them to lifetime deals. But here it is. This is the effect of them trying to get Kemba going. It trickles down. Look, the Celtics play mature basketball, and they have experienced a lot of success at a young age. You're talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They have to learn sometimes that it's okay to sacrifice. And what I seen out of those two guys today was bad body language on the court all throughout the game. You think JT is happy right now that he only got 12 field goal attempts? Mm.
That's Kendrick Perkins. I like Steve Pagalula. Pagalula.
Perk's been really good lately.
Wick Grossbeck and Steve Pagluga.
Excellent. And I wonder whether he's going to be back next year with NBC Sports Plus.
He's a little bit too negative?
He is really tough on the Celtics. I mean, before the series began, and he's been right. Before the season began, he picked Miami, and he said Boston won't be able to handle the toughness of the Miami Heat.
Before the series started?
Before the series started. Oh. Yes. He said this before the series started.
Well, he picked Toronto to win, too.
Did he pick Toronto?
Yep.
Okay. But he's totally right, what he just said. So Marcus Smart, your guy, Christian, is the defensive stopper, and the problem is you can't put him on a different guy. There's only so many guys he can go out there and defend. But he's suddenly become an offensive part of their team. And so he likes shooting right now. So he's taking threes. You've got all of these guys that want their own. Is anybody noticing that Jimmy Butler is like giving shots up for other guys?
No, and they actually talked about that. And I thought it was really interesting just during the telecast of the game, where he basically was saying, I'm just going to paraphrase here, just, you know, listen, I like to kind of take a step back and let the other guys get into a rhythm. I let them do that.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth quarter, if a play needs to be made, I go out there and make it because that's what I do. I really felt like that's what Kemba Walker needed to be. That's what I felt like his role would be. Hey, listen, I'm going to defer. I'm the older guy here. I'm the mentor to these guys. I'm going to lead them to where they can't lead themselves. And if something happens and then, you know, it gets really hectic and chaotic, hey, I'm going to step in because I've been there before.
So Kemba
but that's
Walker,
not happening.
No, Kemba Walker ended up taking 19 shots. He was 9 of 19. He took 11 three-pointers. He was 4 of 11. He ended up with 23 points, which is fine, with a minus 10. With a minus 10.
Well, listen, Glenn, if he was, you know, if he only scored 6 points, like he's going to be a minus, right? Because the defense is his defense. You know, so he needs to shoot the ball better, which he has, which he did in this game.
Yeah, but you want your offense and the time that you're on the floor to outshine what you do defensively, and that's how you get a plus versus a minus 10 when you lose the game by 5. So to me, Kemba did some nice things, But again, I'm wondering if other guys, I think Perk is right, if other guys are looking at it, so wait a minute, Kemba took 19 shots, what about mine? What about mine? And your guy, Marcus Smart, took 13 shots.
See, I don't think, here's what I think it is.
That's low for him.
I think it was pretty much, there's this pecking order, and I don't think that the shooters, and I'll just call the shooters Jaylen and Tatum. I'll just call those are the shooters. They think they want to shoot the ball, right? And you know what, Marcus? We know you've been hot here and there, but really your job is just to get loose balls, create havoc, flop. You know what I mean? You're a scrapper. So listen, don't start, you know, driving your car into our lane. You don't belong in our lane. You want to pass through, fine. But when it matters, you know you need to defer. So I think there is some issues with that where they don't think he should be shooting. He thinks, you know, hell, I've earned the right to shoot. And why all of a sudden you guys are angry at me or holding a grudge against me because you feel like you have a better chance of making it than me, so you should shoot.
Well, and that's why, you know, you look at that last night and, yeah, Smart, what, 0 for 4 in the fourth quarter, right? Jaylen Brown, 4 for 7 in the fourth quarter. You know, Kemba, 2 for 5 in the fourth quarter. We know Jaylen banged those two threes late in the game. Jason Tatum, 1 for 1. And I guarantee you that burns his ass because I think he looks at himself differently than those other guys, you know, and I think maybe the other guys, because if you remember after game one, I think one of the responses from Jaylen Brown was something like, you know, you not touching the ball at all in the fourth quarter or second half, or whatever it was. And he's like, yeah, we talked about that. Fourth quarter overtime, you not touching the ball. He said, we talked about it. So, I mean, I still think this team, you know, Jaylen Brown hitting threes, Marcus Smart, Kemba, Jason Tatum, like the four of these guys, you know, move the ball, hit the open shot. You should be confident in all these guys to hit shots at this point. Yeah, but, whereas I think Tatum's not ready for that.
So, but
I think he wants his 7-8 shots, even though it didn't work out so well and hasn't really worked out so well for him. But he still wants it.
Okay, so I think Jason Tatum was bitching at Marcus Smart for taking too many shots. I agree. Okay, but here's the thing. Is he right?
No.
You think Jason Tatum is wrong?
How can you bitch at Marcus Smart for taking too much shots? If I'm Smart, I'm losing my mind.
Me too. And I'm
the only one playing hard, making shots too.
So my issue is not because I actually think Jason Tatum is right. I think Jaylen Brown is right, but it's how they went about it under their breath. Maybe he heard him calling him out in public. It's one of those things where you go, "Hey, listen, Marcus, when you're hot, we feed you." But listen, let's be real here. Like you should not be taking those shots late unless we don't have a
chance.
Why not? Because you're not a better shooter than you are.
I'm just saying,
because we're better shooters than you.
Do you think that conversation's going on in Miami? Hey, Tyler, stop shooting. Duncan,
no,
stop shooting.
It's different. It's different.
Dragic, what are you doing? Stop shooting so much.
Different.
Bam.
And that's why it's working.
That's what I mean. They're all sitting there saying, listen, we got five guys we can burn you with. Let's do it. And, oh, by the way.
Marcus Smart is not that guy, though.
We know Jimmy Butler's going to finish it. We know he's going to do it.
See, this
but
is
other
the
than
problem.
That, and these guys are like, it's like Kendrick Perkins said, my turn basketball.
I know, but
you shot's my turn.
There are roles. And at the end of game, if you're going to line all those guys up, Marcus Smart would be the fourth guy in line to take a winning shot.
You said he's the best player.
But I don't want him. Still want him shooting. I don't want him shooting the last
most
shot.
Most important player.
I don't want him. He's the most impactful player.
But
I still
of which the rest of the
yes,
team grows.
Exactly. So now, Marcus, you need to be the mother. You need to be Mother Nature. You need to be Mother Earth.
Somebody called him a mother last night, I'm sure.
I just feel like there needs to be some, you know, some understanding of, listen, let's not act like, you know, you're the best shooter in the bunch. You're streaky. We love it when you start making it. But they feed them. But
all
at
I'm
the end of the games, you need to stay out of the way.
I think this offense and this team is like, you know, we're good because of all of us, like together, what we can all do. We can all take over games at times within a game. And it's sort of like that team, like, okay, move the ball. Whoever's open, I have confidence. And I feel like Tatum wants to sit there in the middle of those meetings and scream, you're all wrong. I'm the best player on this team. Feed me. I feel like he's not in the same page.
Well, you can look at it. Tatum got 12 shots. Walker got 19. 13 for Smart. 14 for Jaylen Brown. They ended up shooting 50% and just under 36% from three-point territory. And I don't know what the stats are, but I would guess right now that any team that shoots 50% and 36% from three wins a huge majority of those games. So why did they lose it? Here's why they lost it. Because Tatum turned the ball over five times. And Kemba Walker turned the ball over five times. And Marcus Smart turned the ball over four times. That's why they lost it. They're not doing all of the other things.
It's such a cliche, and cliches are there because they're true. It really is. And that's why if you're the Celtics, you sit there and you throw it all up on the film and then up on the wall and you watch it and you go, guys, hey, if you just were a Wanamaker, if you were just not as careless with this underthrow, like throwing it underhanded and like in carelessly getting it picked. Hey, Marcus Smart, there's a minute and 30 left. Can you not? Why can't you're a pro? You can't inbound the pass? Are you kidding me? It's a listen. You guys are all getting paid a lot of money. You have the little things should be easy, like the tough ones. Okay, I'm okay with you messing up, but the little things, that's got to be a given.
So we've seen spurts in both games, even more so in the first game than last night's game, where Miami goes into this thing, this funk, where they start losing the ball. Here's the difference. They correct it. They figure it out. They correct it. They get back into their game. Boston goes deeper into the funk when they start turning the ball over. All right, will Gordon Hayward make a difference? We're going to get to that next. We'll get to more of your phone calls. Mike Lombardi coming up at 4 o'clock. Big football game on Sunday. A real test for the New England Patriots. It's the Seahawks. All of that and more right here on the Friday edition of OMF.
Famous? Sure.
Christian Fourier made history by catching the first touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
Freakishly good?
Christian really was not elite, but, you know, good.
Your first pick to lead a championship parade?
Yeah.
It's Fourier.
Yeah.
On OMF.
What the hell does freaking Bill Belichick know?
Tell him.
What does he know with the difference? How does he know the difference between elite and good?
Tell him.
It's not what I heard. I heard different. I heard elite level of everything.
The one where you fell down in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, then we all have our, you know, our scars.
Come on, man. I thought you were in.
Tough moments?
We have them. You know. This is a good lesson for the Celtics. You know, they have an opportunity just to lay down and just give up. We'll see how they fight back.
So for the next 24 hours, and maybe it continues on till next Wednesday, because they're not playing game four until next Wednesday, because the NBA doesn't want to go up against the NFL. So they don't want to do that. And then they've got the Western Conference game on Tuesday night, so they're off till Wednesday. So we're going to hear a lot of, well, if they bring Gordon Hayward in here. So they're all having difficulty right now of who's going to take the shot. And then you're going to add Gordon Hayward, who hasn't played in, what, 6 weeks. And you're going to throw him in when all of these other players he's playing against are playing right now at peak efficiency in the playoffs. Does anybody feel optimistic about that?
Not at all. I would actually think he'd probably do more damage than he does good.
Unless he's just going to move and pass the ball, right?
I mean, listen, if he can protect himself and he's healthy and he's in shape, then I guess the answer is why not? He comes off the bench. He doesn't start.
Canter shape?
I would like to think he's in better than canter shape.
If he's just, can he just take Ogilvy's minutes, please? Like I just can't watch him anymore. Like, I don't like his haircut.
Ooh.
I don't like his face.
I don't. It's like a bowl. I don't like him on the court.
Even
defensively, like I'm good with him. I don't want to take shots. So he comes off the bench, whatever. If it's 4 or 5 minutes, like you said, canter. You know, he's out of shape, apparently, which is amazing. But still, if that's the way it is, give me 5 minutes at some point. Maybe it's the end of the first quarter, and he could split it up, beginning of third quarter. Stuff like that. You know, maybe he can come back out, I don't know, end of the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Like, give me, like, 3 minutes at the end, 3 minutes. Give me 12 minutes. Just something, because I know what he will do. You know, maybe he's not going to be the scorer. Maybe it'll be somebody you got to pay attention to because it's still a threat, like a decoy or something like that. But he'll be able to handle the basketball. He'll be able to drive to the basket, kick it out. He'll be able to get things going, playmaking abilities that the guys that come in for him just can't do.
Can I give you one more thing? He's really good at breaking down zone defenses. And I don't know if you've noticed in the first couple of games, the other guys are not. So I'm not saying it's a negative, Christian. I think that what we normally do, you bring a player back who's been injured, he hasn't played in 6 weeks, you're putting him in the middle of the playoffs, and suddenly we're going to think he's going to be, oh, the savior, he's going to save it. He's not going to be the savior. Can he help? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I'm, if he can shoot, they need as much help as they can. So, yes, I just feel like he starts being an issue, when he starts flopping on the ground and losing the ball, take his ass out.
JP is in North Providence. Next up here on EEI. JP.
OMF, I think you guys are making my point. Give me 1 second with the analogy. Christian, your technical term of peeing down the leg made me think of a team as an analogy. So the Celtics are not making adjustments coming out of halftime. Other teams are making the right adjustments in the third quarter. They're turning over the ball a lot. And Lou, to your point, they're making stupid little mistakes that if that was another team, the Wanamaker should have been pulled right off the court. And veterans that we think were not playing good are now playing to peak potential with Miami. We're talking about New England. I never appreciated it.
Patriots, yeah.
We are, absolutely. Miami is playing like that.
Unselfish.
And the Celtics are playing like Tampa Bay played Sunday. They're making all the wrong mistakes and no adjustments. And you know what would be fun if Hayward comes and starts Game 3 and sits Marcus just to see if he throws a chair or something? That just for that,
well,
it might be fun.
He should throw a chair if that's happened. If that happens, he should throw a damn chair.
Absolutely.
He should not come out of that starting line.
Absolutely. But the guy brings JP. Yeah, JP does bring up an interesting point in that Miami is doing all of those little things because they're not running on all cylinders right now. They're struggling to score at times,
which makes the whole situation more pathetic to me because you're not hitting. There's no chemistry. It's clunky. It's disorganized. It's chaotic. Yet here they are because they're so talented. This is what would drive me crazy. They're so talented that they can play like crap and be all over the place, yet still be in a position to win, Glenn. That would make me want to throw a chair. Because, again, going back to the genesis of any sport, control what you can control. Well, hey, I can control my effort. I can control my ability to think and to try hard. They're out hustling you. That, to me, that you could sit there and say zone defense, they're not doing it. You could say shot selection. In the end, it's hustle.
Yeah.
They're
getting outworked.
Miami has to do that. They have to rely on that because they're not as talented.
I agree, but, you know, Miami pretty much was playing man-to-man until that third quarter. You know, for the most part, like showing it, then they were all zone. Like, beating the zone to me is about the system, right? Like, when they throw the zone, what do you want us to do? Because we can't do isolation, coach. You know, and I know that's what we're doing. I know it's my turn to shoot because we're playing my turn basketball and because he shot it last time, so now I get a chance. But we can't do isolation in a zone. They're double teaming you and they're big up front. You know, they got Crowder and Jimmy Butler and they're just coming after you. So what does it look like they're trying to do to beat this zone? Like every once in a while, like Marcus Smart, like actually pops to the free throw line and they split it and they throw to him and he's wide open. But, you know, and even then, you know, it's not like they have something to play off of that.
I think
that coaching, how are we going to attack the zone, yeah, Brad? Oh, it's not about zones. It's not about offense. It's not about defense. Yeah.
Well, in essence, he's kind of right about that in that they're just not responding to anything. Because I really believe that Spoelstra is doing some of these things just because he knows that they're going to pee down their leg, as Christian said.
I get it, but
he does this.
When you dribble down the court and you see the zone, the Kemba kind of pull it out and put like a hand up or a fist up or something, and then you see guys like, okay, here we go.
Right.
We're going to beat the zone right here. I mean, there's nothing. It's chaos.
Right.
It's absolute chaos.
Well, the numbers
when they throw the zone at you.
The numbers against Tyler's got some of those numbers. Their numbers, shooting numbers against the zone are pathetic. Here's Joe in a car. Joe.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, I agree with Perk's statement about body language, and especially as far as Tatum is concerned. And I heard, I think, on one of your programs that Tatum is very close to Kyrie Irving. And as young as he is, I think he's probably very impressionable. I don't think that Kyrie is probably the guy that the Celtics would want him talking to. And that there are probably 100 other people in the basketball world that would serve him better when it comes to attitude.
Well, so you think that Tatum
Kyrie's
is talking?
Phone calls
yeah,
the
so
bubble.
somehow Kyrie Irving has infiltrated the bubble. Even though he's not in the bubble, his presence is felt, and he's got the screws in Tatum, and he's kind of directing him. He's like on a trance. Call out Marcus Smart, don't take the shot. He's like the Naked Gun.
Wouldn't that be something if somebody went and interviewed Kyrie right now? Because Kyrie just wanted to say, especially if they lose this series, somebody probably will, and Kyrie will say, okay.
Apparently it wasn't my fault after all.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Tyler, what do you have those numbers? I'm sorry, I'm throwing you under the bus here, but do you have those numbers of...
Yes, so this is from Kirk Goldberry of ESPN. He says, the Celtics shooting numbers against the Miami zone defense for this year, including the regular season. Kemba Walker is 5 of 19. That's Ooh. One of their better numbers. Jaylen Brown, 6 of 17. Marcus Smart, Christian Fourier's guy, 4 of 16. Semi Ojeleye has as many attempts shooting-wise as Jason Tatum this year against the zone for Miami.
That's good.
Ojeleye's 2 of 9, Tatum 4 of 9.
So that's it. I mean, he looks at it and he's...
It's that simple. This is crazy because I have these, I'm a basketball coach in my day, but nothing past 8th grade. But, when I'm coaching my girls up on how to, beat rims, the zone, it's all about cutting to the basket. And then they never do it. And you know why they don't do it? Because they don't like running.
Are you comparing this to 8th grade?
Yeah, I am. You know why? They don't like running. I tell them to cut and replace, cut and replace. Nobody wants to run.
8th grade girls.
Nobody wants to. I'm not even kidding you. I feel like this is the same thing. They don't want to get tired.
Don't you get pissed off?
So they don't want to cut to the basket. They all want to stay on the outside.
Yeah, don't you get pissed off when somebody calls and tries to compare something to the Patriots did to his Pop Warner team? You get pissed off at that. And instead, you're using
the funny thing is
8th grade girls.
The examples and the teachings are all the same. It's all the same. Like, hey, here's the zone. I can go high school basketball if you want. We can go high-end competitive basketball. We can do that. It's still the same.
But it does beg the question.
Start running.
It does beg the question. This has been a situation all year long against Miami. And Eric Spoelstra sits there and goes, you know what? These guys are so stupid. They haven't figured out how to deal with the zone defense. So, boys, let's slap the 3-2 on them late in the game when things are not going
for us. He sort of waits for them to start to lose it.
Yes.
And you can see it, too. Even in game one, you started to see, like, oh, my God, they're going to do this again. You know, it's even before, like, towards the end of regulation, but it was like, they're going to do it again. And he picks the right spot. And he's like, yep, look at him. Look at him. Look, Kemba's starting to lose his dribble. You know, the passes aren't on point anymore. They're starting to feel a little bit. Go to the zone right now. They will lose their ever-loving mind.
Yeah.
So and they do.
You're going into a series, guys, against the Miami Heat. And you're looking at what they did against you during the regular season, because I would say Bill Belichick, going back to JP's comparing New England to Miami, aren't you going to sit down and say, okay, guys, they're going to give us the zone. Let's work on it right now. And you come up with a cure and an answer for it. You're professional athletes. How is it that they have no answer for it? None.
Yeah, I tell you what, I feel like Tatum, just specifically Tatum, start finding a way to embrace the zone defense. Like, he just hates that zone. He hates it. So find a way to embrace
because he can't do isolation.
Well, that's my point. So find a way to embrace it. Don't sulk. Don't be sad. Oh, God, they're in zone again. Well, I guess I'm not going to take a shot. Wah, wah, wah. It's like some really bad 80s sitcom. Every time Tatum comes in the room, oh, you're playing zone. Wah, wah, wah. I'll go home. I mean, that drives me crazy.
But then it's a sad trombone.
Wah, wah. It's like sad trombone Charlie Brown music as he's walking up and down the court.
All right, we're going to talk to our buddy Mike Lombardi in a few minutes, and we'll break down the
I'm sure Patriots. Mike has an answer for the Celtics.
Well, he's a big basketball fan, but he knows a team that has no balls because he follows the 76ers, so he knows it quite well.
What Mike will do, he'll compare to some like Navy SEAL. Some Navy SEAL training. What you need to do is we play zone in the Navy SEALs.
That's my next book, Marcus Aurelius.
So the latest is they're feeling optimistic about the smoky air being gone by Sunday night, right? That's the first thing. There are no fans sitting in the stands, and so that's a advantage New England, would you say?
Sure.
Yeah. 12th man.
It'll help.
Are they still going to raise a 12th man flag, even though there's not a 12th man in
the
stands?
Oh, yeah,
they do
a ceremony at the beginning,
don't they? They should be able to
do that.
You know what?
One guy by himself.
It's just somebody. Yeah, that's
with a mask.
Exactly.
Very lonely.
Yeah, that's exactly when they will ask me to do it. When there's nobody at the damn stand. No, you're safe. It's safe.
Can you come back week 6 in our game against Cleveland?
All you hear is like the flag going up.
And I think we all agree that this is a bigger test than what happened last week. So you played the first game at home against Miami. They're not real good. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's either trick or treat. He was not good. So you got one of those games. This is a legitimate test, I think, on both sides of the ball, because this defense is really going to get tested.
I would say in years past, this is right into their wheelhouse. You know, nobody thinks we can win.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody believes in us. Oh, Buffalo's favored to win the East. We're not even a playoff team. That idiot Merlone thinks we're going to win six games. Like, just all of it, it would play in perfectly. Because I'll say this. I mean, if somehow they sneak out this win, you know, yeah, you will sit there and you'll be impressed in how they go about yes. doing it, going to Seattle. And you'll be like 2-0. Like, oh, boy. And the talk around the nation would be like, the Patriots, can they do it again, you know, yes. without Tom? Oh. But I just don't see it happening. You know, I don't. And they can have this whole attitude of no one thinks we can win this game. And I don't think they can. I'm not so sure it's even going to be close. So, yeah, this is a challenge because now we're about to see some of the weaknesses that we felt this team had. They might be exposed this weekend.
Oh, I think they'll be number two on Florio's power rankings if they ever come
Maybe
out
number
with
one.
A win in this game, right? Wow. 4-point underdog in this game. That's it?
4-point underdog. So, Vegas, how do they do in the...
They're eliminating home field advantage.
So, it would have been 7. Is that what you're telling me?
Probably if the fans were in the 6 stands, and a half, something like that. Something, yeah.
Yeah, in that yeah. range. Okay. Yeah.
So that's what they're doing. But even with it, so you put them on a neutral field, and I think we all agree, Seattle has a better quarterback. Seattle has better offense.
Do you kind of look at this situation like the NBA bubble? So we say there's no fans, there's no home court advantage, you know, on a best of 7 series. So you're not able to get up for a game 3 after being down 2. Is it the same thing? Do you get the purest form of a team? Listen, you don't have the asset. You don't have this asset. You don't have this crowd noise. So we can't benefit from you being on offense yes. and not hearing.
Okay, I would say if that's the case,
so it's almost been leveled. The playing field's been leveled a
right.
little bit.
So, but we're seeing in the bubble right now with the NBA, teams like Denver, lesser talented teams. I'm not saying they don't have talent, but they're lesser talented teams are knocking off the better teams, the higher seeded teams. The Miami Heat are 5-seed guys. That never happens in the NBA. A 5-seed is well, in your conference final and maybe going to the NBA finals. So in the bubble, and maybe the same thing happens in Seattle on Sunday night. How about the Patriots do all the little things? They have a terrific coach. Maybe they go out there and they find a way of scheming and doing certain things that can hide some of their deficiencies, but they play their ass off. And if that's the case in a neutral site, is it possible they can win?
No. No. But just getting back to that NBA thing, I mean, we know they swept Philly, but going back to Toronto, the home team has lost every game.
Yeah.
In the last 9 yeah. Celtics games. It's the irrelevant, so-called though. Home team, you'd never see that again. So no, to your point, yes, it does. It evens it out. You know, there's no huge advantage being home. There's no disadvantage being on the road. You know, no tackles can get exposed because guys can get off the line faster and,
yeah.
you know, silent counts. It'll make it a lot easier for them. And then it just comes down to your team versus our team, and their team's better than yours.
And we might have got fooled by all of this if we were running the normal system, because the first 2 games would be at home. And my guess is that the Celtics would have won one of these 2 because they would have got pumped up by that home crowd and they probably would have played with a lot more energy because we're sitting here talking about, you know, they're getting out, hustled out there.
Do you
there.
Think they would have coughed up these types of leads at home?
No.
I don't.
No.
They might be up 2-0. We might say, this is a joke.
Yeah. No,
they
I think
might have won both
totally
games by 17.
Basketball.
They might have held on to both those leads if they were at home.
Yeah, I think the Clippers would have won their series as well. Might have, you know, gone the distance or close to it, but I think they would have won that series. The home court advantage is gigantic. I'm wondering if it's as big a deal in the National Football League, but if they come up and win that game Sunday night, don't you think they're going to win by doing all of the little things and just playing their ass off? That's how they're going to win that game, because Seattle's a better team. They are. Mike Lombardi is going to join us next. We'll break it all down. This hour has been brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.